The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and listeners, and everyone around the world listening. This is the very first episode of the Pit Crew podcast. I am Millen, and I am joined by my co-host,
Chase.
As you may have gathered from the title of our show, we are very big Formula One fans, and this show is for newcomers to the sport, but also established fans. We try to make it as inclusive for everybody, and given that we are just about to get right into a new year of Formula One racing, coupled with new regulations, we thought it would be a great time to kind of go over everything that's new, everything that we're excited for, everything that you need to know right before we kick off the new season. Our first episode, we're very excited. We're going to talk about all things new regulations, the new fuel mixes, the new requirements, the new dimensions of the car, all of that. We're going to go over it in detail. So you're up to date. If you are new to the sport, or even if you're an established fan who just doesn't get it, we're going to try to explain it the best way we can. And then later on, we're going to dive into, you know, different news stories, things that are happening and are current, and also just talking about the races themselves, you know, going over unexpected events, expected events, standings, things like that. Chase, are you excited?
So excited. There's so many new things to talk about, and the season hasn't officially begun with its first race yet, but there's still
so much material,
so much going on, and things
and
to look at.
This is something that we wanted to do for a long time. Like, we've been talking about this since our first year, and it just never come to fruition. But now it felt like,
with all this, it felt
with
like
all
the
of
perfect
just
time.
New, it felt like, well, now we got to give it a go. So to start, of course, new regulations. All the teams are trying to adapt, and it's not like the jump we had previously, and I want to say 22 it was, or 20, something like that, when there was a new overhaul adding very minor, you know, it was the introduction of the ground effect era, but dimensions stayed the same, you know, fuel mixes stayed the same.
Things
but,
with the wing and all that. Yeah,
but this is like a complete top to bottom. Things are different. Teams are trying to adjust. Not only that, we're going to go into this probably in our next episode, but there's a whole other team on the grid now, and Audi is now the sole owner of what was formerly Kick Sauber. So just so much going on in the grid. But the first thing that we're going to kind of go over is DRS, I think, is a good place to start. From the back of the car, we'll go to the front. DRS is gone, which was the opening of the rear wing with your when you're within the DRS zone and 1 second of the car ahead. That's now being replaced by two different features on the car, which are active aero, which you can kind of enable at any point, like specifically specified points on track within the car ahead of you. But
it's also kind of strategic, too, because
it's all over the track. It's not just one DRS zone. There's the X and Y modes, which are corresponding to the front wing and the back wing, which open up, giving you more straight line speed, and then you got to close them back up in corners. It's not dissimilar to DRS. But
it's just a different approach to it.
It's just a different approach and different.
The front wing on the older cars were
fixed.
You couldn't. Yeah. There was I remember a scandal with the front wing, if it was Mercedes, I can't remember, where the wind would push up, or it might have been McLaren, where the wind, when you're going so fast, would eventually push up a flap on the front wing, essentially acting as active aero. But as soon as you're stationary, it's fixed. Like, it's so hard to move. But with the amount of force that the wind generates, it would do that. But now with the X and Y modes, it's full active aero.
Yeah, like, it's both wings, like crazy amounts of downforce lost. So you are I think the kind of the projections that we were looking at on early simulations was you get incredible amounts of straight line speed, but the way the cars are formulated, which we're going to go over, you lose so much speed in and around corners that it kind of balances back out, but we're still looking at overall slower cars. Yeah. So there's pros and cons. I personally am not such a fan just because I think it overcomplicates things.
Especially with the hybrid system. Yeah. I saw some clips on the long straights where they're coming out of a corner and the battery's at full charge, which mid-lap is like why your battery should not be at full charge.
But right.
This is just how everything works with the new regulations. And by the end of the long straight, I think this was Abu Dhabi, the last straight before the main straight, the battery was fully exhausted by
gone.
The end of the straight.
That's,
and like you actually, yeah. RPMs actually started to drop. Like you were losing speed because the battery depleted so fast.
So coupled with active aero is now you have the overtake mode, which is the deployment of extra battery that you build up on the recharge, you know, lift and coast during the corners and stuff like that. But the problem is, with the new engines, you have basically a 50-50 split between electric, and gas-powered cars. So you are demanding so much from the battery, by the time you exhaust that battery, you are running at 50% power because it's purely relying on the combustion engine.
Oh, yeah, like it's only...
Yeah, once that battery is depleted, it's just the
basically
combustion
50%
engine.
Of your power.
Which as, in comparison, I want to say last year, it was a much higher, I think it was like 85 to 15 or like 70-30 kind of split between...
Where it was heavily on
the smaller amount was the battery and the bigger amount was the combustion engine.
Yeah.
So it's just making it very difficult to keep your battery fully charged. And that's why, like we mentioned before, so many teams are... struggling because, you know, you're having to do LiCo around the entire
track. And that puts a lot on the drivers, right? Because it gives them one more thing to have to look out for. When you've got a car on your rear and you're having to manage not only just keeping the car on track and making sure you don't run out of battery. Because as soon as that battery is out, you're getting passed.
Yeah. I appreciate that it adds another level of the strategy to it, but I do see it as a major issue when it comes to cars just fully running out of power in the middle of a straight during a race.
Yeah.
You know, because teams have done long runs and testing, but no one's testing engine malfunctions or DNFs or anything like that. You obviously don't prepare for that.
Yeah.
And anything is possible when we actually go racing.
Once you do 72 laps around a track in the blistering
heat, I think that's another issue because you also are looking inside the engines. The parts of the engine that would give you that extra battery deployment are gone too. Like there's no MGU-H, which was basically the engine and the battery would recharge from the heat produced by the engine itself. But that's completely gone.
And also that's gone. And then it's more reliant on
the kinetic
MGU-K, where you're under braking.
Yeah.
It's like regenerative braking.
Right.
Just from the car slowing down, the resistance on that electric motor.
So it's tough. I think the problem that we're looking at right now is a lot of people are complaining. You know, you had Max Verstappen say this. It was a big quote. It feels like Formula E. With how much dependence there is on the battery. And so I guess my first question is, do you think overall with these new regulations, how much of it is a step in the right direction and how much of it is a step in the wrong direction? Like what do you think are the things they got right? What do you think are the things they got wrong?
I think the things they got right was first off just change in general.
The former
regulations, while there were minor changes from year to year, majorly, the cars stayed pretty similar in the terms of the hybrid system. It was the same 1.6 V6 turbocharged hybrid. I like how they were introducing changes. Am I a fan that they went more on the electric hybrid reliance?
Yeah.
No. But I also think that it's a step in the right direction globally just because they're trying so hard to get these environmental initiatives.
Yeah.
Like their goals by like 2030 or 2035.
To be completely 100%, sustainable.
What's the term? Sustainable. But I also think that they haven't done it right in the sense, like, as I said before, the battery's running out on the straight. I feel like that's almost a hazard.
Yeah. You think it's they've made too much of a drastic jump in the first regulation change since they've announced these initiatives.
Since they've announced it, yeah.
Yeah. I think for myself, larger scope than that. I like that the cars are getting smaller.
Yeah.
I think that was a good call to make. 20
centimeters.
It's barely
20 centimeters smaller.
It's like barely noticeable, but it's something. Like you can there's a visible difference when
they're
the cars
also
are
lighter.
Unless you're Aston Martin and you're like 40 kilos overweight, which we'll go over in another episode, but I think in terms of steps in the wrong direction, I completely agree with you. I think the battery changes are, like Max said, making it a little bit more of a like Formula E video game kind of vibe, and it's less about just, because Formula One, right? It should be about your instincts, your reactions, your reflexes, pushing it to the absolute limit, right? Constantly.
Yeah.
Sustaining maximum Gs, maximum speed through corners. So when you introduce regulations that force you to be lifting and coasting like
midway through
100
the
yards, like
where
200 yards
should be
away from your breaking point, you're not really pushing it to the limit then. You're kind of just playing it safe.
Playing it safe and also just trying to manage the car instead of manage yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Like, I feel like the drivers shouldn't have to worry about taking care of the engine. I feel like that's the responsibility of the team. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Like, they're analyzing everything that's going on, temperatures, fluid levels, fluid temperatures, all that. But it's so much
like,
on the driver because it's so instantaneous.
Like, you're adding just so many unnecessary things that the driver has to pay attention to. Like, battery depletion, the active aero they have to look after, differential changes into different corners, like braking points. Like, it's almost limiting in the fact that, and of course, the good drivers, the ones that are, you know, the Max caliber, the Lewis caliber, they will learn how to adapt.
Exactly. They'll learn how to multitask
but
with those
On gross, it's like you got so many rookies on the field, and it's like this is their like second year of Formula One. Poor guys, what are they gonna? They've barely had time to adjust like to the speed difference going from F2 to F1. Kimi going from what was it F4 to F1?
F1.
Poor guys got to deal with all kinds of other stuff now. So it's just it's brutal.
Yeah, no, it's. I think there will be, or at least I hope that in the 2027 season. And this is always how it is. After the first year, they see what's
working and not working,
and they change it. But I think it'll be really crucial this year, especially because with that hybrid system, if they change it, they then have to develop a new engine that'll be able to basically withstand more of the power split being put on that internal combustion engine rather than the motor. And then also just make new electric motor technologies.
Like
that
I think,
are less...
I think teams are basically coming out and saying now that the solution is available. Like it won't take too much R&D right now to go back and make the amendments that need to be made to address all these concerns. Like it's just a matter of battery versus combustion deployment. Like that can change in the car right now. They're ready to do that. Is the FIA willing to
see those changes?
See it
out?
Through, and. The history of the FIA is they're probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the president is very keen on making changes that would better the sport. He just kind of does what he wants.
Pushes
but,
the investor's agenda, right?
Exactly. So I think it's interesting to see what is going to change between now and Melbourne and what is going to change between Abu Dhabi and 2027. Because it's hard to anticipate the issues and concerns that are going to come up in the middle of the season. Another thing we didn't mention earlier was the new fuel mixes, which is also causing a problem because I think in previous years, it's always been the engine suppliers, the teams that are, you know, selling their engine units to other teams, for example. Mercedes makes their engine in-house and supplies it to Williams, McLaren, and there's a new one this year, Alpine, I think.
Yeah.
They supply them the engine and they also make the fuel mix. And the fuel mix has a very specific like molecule breakdown that it's supposed to adhere to. It's all kinds of science and numbers. But some teams, like Mercedes, are struggling to get their fuel cleared, whereas Ferrari has, you know, nailed it to perfection, which has kind of been how it's been going. You know, Ferrari's been nailing a lot of stuff. Yeah, so fuel mixes is now... It's sustainable fuel. I don't know if it's 100% sustainable fuel. Do you know anything?
I read it's supposed to be, they say it's like advanced sustainable fuels, but I don't know.
Like there's no gas. Like I think it's purely like carbon neutral fuel.
It's supposed to, because they want
net zero emissions.
Net zero, CO2 emissions. But then also, it's just so weird. Like what actually is that fuel?
I have no idea what the actual breakdown is. We can pull it up right now. Yeah, 100% advanced sustainable fuel, fully carbon neutral. So there's no fossil fuel at all. It's some kind of like hydrogen-based. I don't know if it's public knowledge.
like what it actually is.
What is actually the composition?
Reading here that it's municipal waste.
Municipal
and
waste?
Non-food biomass or a mix of the both.
Okay. So it's literally just biodegradable biomass
yes, it's
materials.
All reused from basically waste. No crude oil. They can cherry pick their molecules for what they want in their blend.
Wow. We were just reading about this right before we started recording, but it's like the team sent a sample of their fuel mix and the guys over at the FIA, whatever facility is checking the fuel mixes, go in like molecule by molecule, like strain by strain, approving every single aspect of your fuel mix. Whereas before, it wasn't really that like tooth and nail, fine comb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it, like for me, just someone who's curious about all this kind of stuff, how it works, when they send the stuff away and it gets rejected, mm-hmm. like it did for Mercedes, what about it got rejected?
Yeah.
Was it like a balance where they were sourcing their e-fuel biomasses from? Like
how serious is the problem? Like, is it even something that they can... Did they invest so much money into this strain of fuel that they are now back to square one? Like, how bad is the rejection?
Yeah.
I don't think that's been made publicly available as of recording. But
then that's, like, a big question that's just looming in the air.
Saying Ferrari nailed it.
Mercedes needs to start taking some notes from Ferrari's book.
Yeah, I guess so. So as much as we want to dog on it, it's not completely...
E-fuel.
It's not completely bad. Like, it's not all bad, the regulations. I think smaller cars is great. I think, you know, pushing towards initiatives that are beneficial and healthy for the environment are good. I just think the rate and the way they're doing it is a little bit haphazard, especially when teams are raising concerns actively in testing. Remember McLaren's whole controversy with the Mini DRS?
Oh, on the rear wing?
On the rear wing?
Yeah.
In Baku?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, where they had the cam on it, and it was...
I think another issue that arises in Formula One so often is teams finding loopholes that other teams don't have, and then they just don't like it, so they get it banned.
Yeah.
Like, where's the innovation? Where's the push for thinking outside the box? Then it just kind of... Like, then you're kind of just... like pigeonholing all the teams into like one category and then it's just the team with the most money ends up winning constantly over and over again, unless you get like a fluke season where somehow you've nailed everything.
Nailed it. Kind of like this, where it's all the teams trying new
things.
All
teams are trying new things.
The only thing I will say about that, now that you've brought it up, is I see your point where it's like, oh, like the teams kind of attack other teams for finding loopholes in this. Like, I always think back to the scenario, can't remember if it was 2018 or 2019 with Ferrari, and the way the FIA would basically monitor how much fuel the car is using or how much it's burning, it was a system that read, like, the injector pulse, but it would only read, like, in increments of, like, milliseconds, and Ferrari figured out that time window that it wasn't recording what amount of fuel was being sent, and they'd send extra fuel while it wasn't recording.
Oh, wow.
Basically, like, on the long straights, they were just, like, flying by. Like, yeah. I remember there was one race in particular. It was really bad. Spa. Not the back straight, kind of the front straight after the first corner.
Okay.
Going up the hill. Ferrari was just going by, and then it's a DRS zone, and they're, like, they were
cooking on gas. But, like, so what are your... Is that to you... innovation, or is that a loophole that needs to be shut?
That to me is a loophole that needs to be shut, because that's cheating. They were spraying extra fuel while it wasn't recording, so basically they were breaking the rule while no one was watching.
If you are finding gaps that don't exist in the rule book, that's the rule book that needs to be amended.
Yes,
but it's not like other teams could have thought about it, which is why I'm pro Mini DRS.
Exactly.
Do I have the McLaren sweater on right now? Yes.
What are you talking about?
I'm not biased. If any other team had done it, I would have been like, that's innovative.
Yeah.
You're doing exactly what the sport sets out to do.
But they were so fast to shut it down because it proved such an immediate advantage, and like they couldn't Because then they're copying, right? Like, they're copying, and that's the whole thing frowned upon. So they just go to get it removed. And then that's just...
You're killing all the innovation.
That was a great
way I agree with the Ferrari call. I think that was the right decision to make because it is actively cheating. And it's not even a loophole. It's just straight up cheating.
Yeah.
Like a loophole is you're finding a workaround. Cheating is you look at something and you say, okay, how can we break this without them knowing?
And I think that just about wraps up all the talking points for this initial episode. Like we said before, this is just kind of the precursor to what's to come with the season starting in about a week, I think, now, right?
Yeah.
So that was covering all the new regulations. Interesting to see kind of the takes and what is happening with the teams in terms of the regulations, people that are not really meeting the quotas and people that are.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to talking about in the next episode to come. That's it for the Pick 4 podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to our first episode. We hope you join us again for our next one in 2 weeks. Until then,
I'm Chase.
I'm Millen.
And we'll see you guys later. Next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.